Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your Collision post show tonight. We know a lot of you sickos are waiting around for Wrestle Dynasty, but we wanted to talk some Collision. I had messaged Cresta saying, what do you want to do? Rick and Iridian aren't available tonight. She was like, I'll go it alone. I'll go with you. I'll do whatever you want. I'm here. I'm here for the coverage, okay? She's not running from the grind over here. So show some love. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats at humperchats.com. We do invite you to leave a thumbs up on this video as well. It's the best free way that you can support us here on Ladies Night. We will remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, the best $6 in the biz now. We raised it on you by a dollar. Forced to by Jimmy Van. Blame Jimmy Van. Damn you, Jimmy. All right. But you're going to get your $6 worth. And let me tell you why. You're going to get all the scoops in the biz. Confirmed scoop of PW Insider before that. Saudi Arabia is going to be the home of your next Royal Rumble. Tons of contract news that was our original reporting, or Sean's original reporting more accurately, on a lot of New Japan contracts that were up, that end of year cycle coming up with Gabe Kidd's contract, with Drilla Maloney's contract, things like that. So much news on Fightful Select and more. You also get the Fightful Select Discord, which is a place to talk to normal wrestling fans. If you want to hang out there, you've got the Ask SRS channel there as well, where you can ask him anything and he'll try and get you an answer if you don't feel like waiting for the backstage report to drop. So plenty of value there. And you also get alternative post shows, including me and Alex Pawlowski doing some behind the paywall PLEs and pay-per-view shows for you, but plenty more to come on Fightful Select. We're going to be adding some fun stuff and adding some more fun stuff to this YouTube channel as well. So you're going to want to subscribe to this YouTube channel if you haven't. We're going to be doing some longer form videos. I know Sean's looking for an editor for those, but plenty more to come. You're going to want to stay subscribed because you're going to want to see everything that the young lady next to me is doing here at Fightful as well. Host of our TNA post show here every Saturday that she can be. The beautiful, wonderful, delightful Cresta. Cresta, how are you?
Happy New Year. Oh, I'm okay. I said before we started, my energy's high, but my hopes are low or something like that. But I'm here. I'm not running from the grind. The grind happens all the time.
That's what's up. And we do know you guys have Wrestle Dynasty on the back of this, so we are going to get through this a little bit quicker. Do keep those super chats coming in, though, and we will get them answered for you, and we'll talk about any comments that you might have. We did want to kind of jump in with some of the bigger news first. Have been switching up the formats a little bit on you guys, and you have seemed to like that. So instead of going in chronological order, let's kind of start with this through line that we get from FTR, or rated FTR, I guess, and the Outrunners crossover mixed in with everything we were getting from the Death Riders. We kind of have a nice cohesive thread running through this, which is pretty impressive when you consider how much talent is in Japan too already. So Some good stuff here for the local Carolina crowd. But backstage early in the night, we have the Death Riders saying that Jay White is a marked man. Yuta gets angry, but Mox starts to cut him off. And Mox says that his generation are representatives of a certain art form, and he appreciates and respects everything that FTR has done for the division, but they crossed the line, and that they're not going to like what they see at the end of all of this, that they've defied the laws of nature to come back, and that it's survival at all costs, and Mox won't stop them, but they're not going to find anything good down this road, hell on earth. And then later, we have Lexi Nair backstage with Cope, who is kind of reflecting back on World's End and asking why Adam Copeland targeted Jon Moxley. I think a lot of us might have been wondering that question. And Cope says he's an 11-time world champion, and it's time to make himself a Dirty Dozen here. I think a Dirty Dozen is 13, but that's okay. Yeah. We'll let that slide. We're not going to quibble. But Chris Jericho pulls up and says, hey, let's not forget what you've got going on tonight at that point in the evening, right then and now. And we get this kind of weird little banter here where Cope says he has a long history with Jericho. He likes Jericho. He respects them. They faced each other over 4 decades and 15 years since they last faced each other. And Jericho says he doesn't remember any of that. He just remembers Copeland getting hurt all the time. And Cope says, okay, well, I take back everything I said about you. I don't like you at all. I think you're kind of an asshole. And Jericho says, as far as he's concerned, Cope is a dope. And he's really proud of that and even throws a sick burn on the end of it, which Nigel McGuinness later supports in the broadcast. Let's just talk about all of that setup first. I kind of like that it seems like now we're starting to dig into the Death Riders that I think we've been waiting for. They are kind of calling war on everyone. They're calling war on Jay White. Moxley's going after Copeland too. This is kind of the takeover that we were leaning towards. It just kind of feels a little too late for me. But we'll see what's to come there. I did like that Copeland had a reason that he said that he was interested in the title. This wasn't just to like level out the egos. It just doesn't feel like Copeland is like the AEW day one guy or the egomaniac that Jon Moxley wants us to believe, right? So my thing with Copeland is, doesn't feel like the egomaniac that Jon Moxley saying everybody in the locker room is. And he also doesn't feel like that Ben here, die for AEW type guy, because he's a legend of WWE, essentially, that the babyface side is kind of leading us down. I am excited for the match because I feel like Copeland showed us tonight he can still really go. And I think something tells me that you're just going to like have good chemistry between these guys, both two very natural talkers on the mic. How you feeling about a Jon Moxley Cope program? Are you coping with it over there?
So I've been saying this for weeks, and I'm still going to say this now. My problem with the Death Riders is that, like, okay, you guys are giving us hell on earth. First of all, that's my line. Second of all, why? Why are you giving us this hell on earth? You want things to change, and I would assume, based off of their ideology and what you presented so far, FTR is right in line with you. They did say that all was forgiven after we kidnapped you and pretty much put you in a snuff film, and then things were cool. But that's not cool, bro. But even then, it doesn't make any sense. Whatever. If it, to quote TNA, if it's violence by design, I guess. So for him to say that, oh, we're going to give it to FTR and Copeland, I'm like, sure. I know it's going to be good wrestling. I'm just one of those people who are now, I want to rhyme to the reason. Also, I did find the segment with the Outrunners of the Rock and Roll Express hilarious when he said, you in 1972 owed me gas money. And they were like, bro, you weren't even born then. He's like, shut up. Yes, I was. The youngest man alive. Honestly, what a fantastic gimmick. Chris Jericho, whether you hate him or love him, he always going to have a one-liner in there. And when he said sick burn, I was like, that wasn't funny. But I laughed. I laughed. So I'm like, I can't say that. The Learning Tree, that whole experimentation, I will say, with Christopher Jericho with the rated R, rated Team FT rated R, was pretty fantastic. But I never have a complaint about the chemistry. I will say, Chris Jericho getting beat up, I liked it.
Doesn't hurt.
I liked it. I mean, no matter what you say about Chris Jericho, whether if you, especially if you don't like him, him get beat up, is you're like, well, I guess. I guess
Chris that Jericho. Match ran a little long in the tooth for me, but it did outkick the coverage of my expectations. But Taylor Cannon, always so wonderful, and was rooting for us to get together here on this post show, saying, Kate and Cresta, oh, how I've wished for this. Well, thank you, Taylor. I've long wished for this too. Crest is one of the few I haven't done like a proper stream with around these parts. So I do relish the chance to get to send in with her. I'm very excited today. So
I feel like I should have had the Drew McIntyre. I prayed for this and it happened.
I prayed for this and it happened. I love it. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Please, please, please send in those super chats and humper chats as we continue along. But you kind of alluded to this Rock and Roll Express segment, which was a part of this through line as well. We get the FTR runners, FTR plugging themselves in with different people today and different nicknames. Speaking to the Rock and Roll Express, of course, Ricky Martin and Robert, Ricky Martin,
Living La Vida Wrestling. Living La Vida Wrestling.
Don't worry, we got all the My God.
The Canadian Destroyer.
Oh, we're off to a delightful start over here. Ricky Morton. Now I kind of wish it was Ricky Martin and Robert Gibson. That would be a very funny combination. But as you said earlier, Floyd and Magnum try to collect a debt from when they were driving up and down the roads together in 1982. But Ricky Morton apologizes to them for the misunderstanding, and the Outrunners and Rock and Roll Express bury the hatchet here while FTR heads to the ring for their match. We do get our main event match. It was longer than I expected. It was better than I expected. I loved the face-to-face, grit your teeth, double submission that we got. A really scary lion salt in here from Jericho. I think that's probably a move that he needs to let go, because it used to be like, oh, that one was inconsistent, but he can still do it. Now we've seen a couple that are a little scary, and I don't think he needs it for his moveset right now either. But we do have Jericho taking the pin, so I'm wondering if that's going to set up a very weird ROH title shot, but certainly a possible one here. But post-match, we get, I call them the destruction perverts, the Death Riders, tying up the Rock and Roll Express, and then just Jon Moxley kind of snidely looks toward the camera like, ain't I a stinker, and pieces out. FTR and the Outrunners come to run him off, but the Outrunners catch hands before that happens. But FTR able to kind of run off and run after them, though Dax hanging back to make sure that the Rock and Roll Express gets a break free. This was perfectly fine. It does feel like we're just now leading to them being agents of chaos, and that's the story they've been trying to tell us for three months. But I always feel like they're trying to get those live attendance numbers up, and this is a good way to do it. This is specific to Carolina, and on a show where, you know, a lot of your key talent is going to be in Japan, like they already headed over there. I feel like this is a good thing to do. I think you want to give people memorable experiences to their hometown when you can. So I like to see that. It does kind of feel like the initial thing was the Death Riders are trying to stomp out the egos backstage. I don't buy that that's the Rock and Roll Express anytime soon. I don't buy that that was Orange Cassidy. My whole thing with this Death Riders thing is this feels like Eddie Kingston's story, and I don't think he's going to be healthy for it, and that breaks my heart because I don't view Eddie as egotistical, but his mental health certainly fluctuated with whether or not he had a belt or was close to a belt. So you could make that argument, the sordid history with Mox, the sordid history with Claudio, him just being able to run down the Death Riders on the mic. Like he would be the guy to look Jon Moxley in the eye and say, what the hell are you doing? Why are you talking in circles like this? You're not the Jon Moxley I know. Like, he's the guy for this. And I don't think he's going to be healthy for it. Hopefully I'm wrong, but, what did you think of the match and then kind of this post-match angle that we get to with, my gosh, the Rock and Roll Express being duct taped up backstage? And I kind of liked Jon Moxley being like, ha, peace.
I'm not going to lie. I did fall asleep a little bit during this match. Don't yell at me, y'all, but I did write down some. It was a very long match. It was very long. I will say Jericho doing the code breaker on Edge for the switch, was it the code breaker or was it? Yeah, it was a code breaker on Edge from the spear. Was okay. I see you, Chris Jericho, a student of the game. Them doing the two lion tamers, it looked Gash Wheeler and Jericho looking to each other's eyes, slapping each other afterwards. Always a good manly ass spot, and I'm here for it. Now, I want to touch on what you said about Eddie Kingston, right? I'm an Eddie Kingston fan, Eddie Kingston stan, and I would love for something. What you said, I think, is fantastic because he's got history with everyone, and really, you at this point, he really needs to get the boom. Willie, you bad child, boom. True. That being said, if Eddie Kingston comes into this bit after you beat up Orange Cassidy, I'm assuming you're going to beat up Jay White. It has to have some sort of reason because the rhyme doesn't make sense. Like you said in the beginning, it was, we're stomping on egos. Orange Cassidy had the he didn't even talk, bro. He's the EC3 of 2018. He didn't even talk. So, like, why are you beating him up? That being said, you did it. Now you're beating up everybody else. If Eddie Kingston comes in, Eddie Kingston is going to have to win that. Because I personally cannot take a Eddie Kingston being the heart and soul of AEW, which perfectly fine. He's got that grit. He's got that edginess that not everyone has. That being said, if you just sacrifice him to the cross, yo, Anthony Khan, I'm going to have to come and talk to you in person. Like, don't I come outside. I just want to talk, Tony. I just want to talk. First, I didn't get my Meet the Vision, and now this. So I like the idea of Eddie Kingston, but in this one scenario, I'm glad that he's away from this, because I could see to say, oh, yeah, Eddie Kingston, sacrifice him. No, sacrifice. No.
I agree with you on that. Like, if Eddie is going to be anywhere near this, he would have to be the guy to come back and win it. And I do think this is Darby Allin's story to eventually win. We do get a quick vignette explaining that he got put out by the Death Riders. I think that's to excuse that he's going to be away climbing Mount Everest for realsies. So good that they gave us that little quick explanation here. Alex Pulowski, who's frequently on this channel, likes this angle a lot better than I do. And he said something that made sense of the story that they're telling is like that everybody in the locker room is eventually going to have to pick sides, and they're going to choose Darby to be the guy that gets lifted up, right? Like, he's going to be the guy to dethrone Mox. But along the way, you have to have people kind of declaring their allegiances to sides. And you're almost, it kind of should culminate with kind of like WrestleMania Night 2-esque story of one side just running off all the guys on the other side, not in a bloodline rules way necessarily, but like this locker room has to finally rise up and beat the unit that is the Death Riders, right? And if Darby's going to be the crown possession, he is a smaller dude, so he's vulnerable. So you're going to need other guys to ward all of the heels off. But like, we have to get our ass in gear on that. Yeah. If that is the direction we're going, because so far it's just been like, these four guys.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Case who can conquer the entire locker room, which is kind of embarrassing to the rest of the locker room.
Bro, I 4,000% agree with you. A stadium stampede would be the perfect blow-off, but we don't have a good set of good guys. You know, Hangman right now, I love this Hangman, but he would be perfect for that, but Hangman's been drinking and he don't got time for nothing. So while Hangman's on the alcoholic beverage, he's chaos. Yes. I mean, Jay White, in my opinion, would be perfect for it, but Jay White is also a smarmy heel. Jay White, I could see beating up the Death Riders, beating up the Faces, and doing this bang bang at the end. So you're right, we definitely got to get our butts in gear. There is a future stadium stampede on the horizon. Whether that's a LOL Danielson's coming back and that would pop everyone's rocks off, but I think he's retired for real, you know? But we would, like you said, we have to do some sort of housekeeping, some sort of house cleaning, and get people on the same page. If Darby's going to be the guy, I could see the Outrunners doing it with him, because they're, I think, in my opinion, they're really pushing the Outrunners. I would even dare to say that FTR is one of those staple tag teams in this company, besides the Young Bucks, who people are like, okay, these guys are AEW guys. These guys are AEW guys. These guys are AEW guys. So if I had three, if we're going with Darby, FTR, but you need a mean person in there. And I don't know who that mean person is. Again, I want to say it's Hangman, but he's drinking right now. So he's too busy.
We're going to talk about Hangman in a moment, but get in those super chats, get in the humper chats as we are talking along here. But we, speaking of tag team action, do have a tag team title defense, and Rafael Garcia saying, I just realized Private Party's theme reminds me of Short But Shoddy by Soulja Boy.
Oh my God.
Also, both ROH champions have been pinned tonight. Don't get me started on the continued disrespect for ROH and how often that is tied up in Collision, which explains a lot about ROH, right? Like, let it is Collision leftovers.
Directly, because Kate covers ROH. Because when you were like, well, maybe they're doing some weird thing, I'm like, does Chris Jericho drop the ROH title to Adam Copeland? When does the ROH title go to an ROH person? I don't even watch ROH, but when does that happen? Besides Athena, when does that happen?
You know, Bandido had come back. I felt kind of silly for not realizing this in real time until we had the moment at Hammerstein. But Bandido had come back, like, looking for bounty hunters. And I feel like Bandido was probably going to beat Jericho, and he would have had a bounty hunter Brian Keith feud with Bandido to open up that title reign, and then probably Big Bill. So my guess is that was the original plan, just based on the vignettes that we were getting from Bandido and that moment that we had in Hammerstein. But now he's concussed, so we will see what happens there. I am hoping that if the concussion's not too bad, that's still the plan, because I think it's a good one. And I was having so much fun with those Bandido vignettes, to be honest. Like, I was having a great time.
Him, Brian Keith, and Hangman.
Hangman!
On horses? That would be so much chaos, but I'd live for it. Death Riders, my butt. You got actual horse riders out here. Get out of here. Run you over with a horse.
Death Riders, my butt. You know what makes me laugh so much? Because anytime Claudio's on screen, I swear, I think of, there's this Kevin Owens shoot interview mm-hmm. where he's talking about, I think it was Low Key. This was way back in ROH days. And Low Key didn't want to face Claudio, who was ROH champion for like a year at the time. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Owens being, even then, being the guy that he is, was like, you don't want to lose to me. That's one thing. You don't want to lose to Generico. That's another. But Claudio, that guy, he's a horse. He's a human horse.
That's up there with Nigel calling Claudio, don't lose your hair, Baldio.
Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We are having fun here on your Collision Post Show leading into Wrestle Dynasty. But we were talking about this tag team title defense, which Private Party wins. And to be honest, this didn't click as well as I thought it was going to, considering the guys in the match. Some of the production of this match felt a little weird. The crowd really wasn't there for it in the beginning, but there were some spots where, like, there were just people, like at one point Andretti and Roosh are poised on the top of the rope, and then they just come back down to the ring. And I was like, there was too much of that in this match for my liking. Just felt like between that, and then there wasn't really anything great on the closing sequences. Like, I didn't have as much fun with this as I was expecting, to be honest. But I said, I do this all the time. When my notes say Roosh or Rush, I say the other one. When I said Roosh, I meant Leo Rush. This is a symptom of being A, dyslexic, and B, it being the same word. But I love all these guys. I think Private Party has a healthy, long title run in them. And I like Leo Rush and Action Andretti together. I said on the ROH show, I feel like Leo Rush is a fully realized version of Action Andretti. Like, the seeds of Action Andretti are there to maybe grow into something like a Leo Rush. I think Leo Rush is one of the very best wrestlers in the whole wide world. So when I say maximized full potential, I mean, that is an extremely high ceiling mm-hmm. that very few wrestlers actually get to. But I do like the pairing. I feel like, I don't know how I feel about these jackets that they come out with, Crest. I need you to tell me whether or not they're cool. Because to me, they look like something fashion. That we looked
look
at.
Look it up, Nate.
It looks like something from science class. It looks like this is a proton and it's Leo Rush. Like, I feel like here's the problem. Leo Rush pulls it off. I feel like Action Andretti isn't cool enough. I feel like Leo Rush can pull off anything. And I don't know if Action Andretti has that much swag, because that's a lot.
They
but
just need a team name. I think if they had a team name, it wouldn't be so bad. I see the vision with the jackets. It's supposed to be like swag lords. I get it. I mean,
okay.
I also watch RuPaul's Drag Race, and it's giving club kid. It's giving, I'm in the club, you need to look at me. But I cannot imagine going somewhere and trying to get a drink and poking someone in the eye with those hats. You know, I agree with what you said about Leo Rush being maximized potential, and someone like Action Andretti under his wing would be fine. However, I did not buy into them beating Private Party at all. Whatever they were buying, I was not buying. But I think that comes down to just a little bit of presentation. This match, I wasn't concerned that it wasn't going to be good. But unfortunately for these guys all being good wrestlers, the speed at which it went, I knew what it was going to go for. I wish Action Andretti and Leo Rush had a team name so they can feel more cohesive. Because especially sure. when you're going against a championship team like Private Party, who's very cohesive, had their own thing going on. If you're like, here's Kate and Cressa, I'm like, well, I know who's winning the team with the name. not the team with the here are these two people. Like, and even before the bar won something, they were named the bar. Yeah. They were Claudio and Sheamus for very long. They were the bar really quickly. So I don't know. I think that there's a long-term team for Rush and Andretti. I just think there needs to be just a touch more cohesion and believing to put it behind it, because the tag team situation in AEW right now is a little shaky.
It's a little shaky, a little dire over there in tag team world. I do feel like they're building. I feel like Brian Cage and Lance Archer is a good thing, though he had a singles match tonight. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Is Lance Archer in Japan? It would make sense. He works New Japan a lot. But either way, I agree with you that there's this really good thing in AEW right now where we have this fresh slate of champions in Takeshita, in Danny Garcia, in Private Party. But we also know those guys probably aren't losing any time very soon. And on the women's side, we kind of know what's going on already with the world title picture too, right? So there's just a lot of predictability right now. I'm a big believer in mid-card, like hot potato things. Like they put Kenny and Okada up for All In, and I was like, I hope he loses it and wins it back in between, because we're getting these really long title reigns and not a ton of meat on the bone.
Sure. So, I can see that.
So I think that would be helpful, because I think it's good that we have these new champions, but for the ones that we have these longer title reigns for, I'm like, everything's feeling real predictable across the board. And to your point, we're going to talk about it in just a moment. Daniel Garcia and Briscoe had a great match today. At no point did I think Daniel Garcia was losing that title. At no point did I think Private Party was losing their title in this match, kind of like you had said. But guys, keep those super chats coming. Please leave a thumbs up on this video and please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com if you haven't. This is a big wrestling weekend and a big wrestling season coming up as well. We also have the Fightful Awards coming up, and voting is closed for those, but that is a subscriber privilege. If you are on Fightful Select, you can vote for those. It's our way of keeping some of the riffraff out of people who are just like, Kenny Omega is God and downvote for all of AEW, or Roman Reigns forever, downvote of WWE.
I'm not a subscriber for this reason.
I'm the bad guy. Can invoice yours up to $10.
I do. I'm memeing.
There you go. I'm memeing. There you go. Orion Ben 666 sending in a humper chat. Thank you so much for that. Saying, here for the Evo sleepover, aka the Mighty Do Collide. TMD Kate right here. I said that, like, I think I'm sitting far away enough from the camera right now that you can't really tell, but my eyeliner came out like I was trying to go to a My Chemical Romance concert today. I don't know what happened, but underneath my eyes, it got really, thank you. I felt a little bit like my heart, like I was going to see one of those, you know what I mean? So, and then I had this on and I was like, am I 14 going to a slumber party? Like, what happened to me today?
Listen, as long as your eyeliner doesn't get as dark as The Undertaker's, because I see you. Shout out to The Undertaker. You'll be all right. But The Undertaker eyeliner was severe, okay?
His guy liner was intense. But Orion Ben saying, Happy New Year, Kate and Cresta. Good show tonight. Quality title matches. Tony and Deanna slapped. We had a great flashback. Terror Tony moment and Brian Cage morphing into Jay something and nothing else happened. I love it.
Jake something is insane. But honestly, now that you've said that, I cannot unsee it with that right? Damn beard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cage something.
He kind of does. He kind of does look like Jake something. I think it works for him. He's one of those people when he has a proper beard, he looks like a completely different person. But James Zimmerman asking, great show. I'm loving the Death Riders. I wonder if Cope losing to the Death Riders leads to Edge and Christian getting back together. You know, I kind of had this thought with how dorky Adam Copeland is acting. The thing with Big Bill where he was like, I hate your face or whatever. I was like, okay, just because Ricochet's a nerdy heel and that's working doesn't mean we have to copy and paste that onto Adam Copeland. But I was wondering if we're going to get like a totally whatever run from Copeland and Christian. I think I wouldn't mind the patriarchy breaking up, because I think it's ready for the younger talent in the patriarchy to kind of break out finally. But You also have to do that. Like, both of those guys are a little older. Do you want to do that while they're healthy? The tag team division could use the shot in the arm. I want to know what the kitty cat thinks. Do you want to see a Copeland and Rated R?
A Johnny. Last,
like, final run, maybe?
What do you think of Johnny?
Oh, my gosh.
She thinks it's full-time, and she's sick of my shit. She thinks it's She's like, I don't care about wrestling. These men are they throwing meat in my direction? The answer is no. But yeah, this is the elusive cat. Bully Ray is somewhere else, but this is a Johnny. She's just being nice because it's food time. Don't kick me in the face, please.
That's okay. Sean calls his cat Oliver Jobber all the time. So rude.
Nah, Bully Ray and a Johnny are about to fight because I picked up a Johnny and Bully Ray's like, so it's food time. No, it's not.
It's my attention time.
That's the crazy thing, though. Strange cat lore, right? Bully Ray don't like to be picked up. You pick up Bully Ray, be like, oh, okay, I'm fat. If you drop me, that's going to hurt. So, yeah.
Fair. Do you want to see Christian Pry cope away from FTR? And we have a tag feud there? Or are you kind of like, nah, I don't need to see that quite yet?
I think there is some magic with Rated FTR in the trios division. I think so too. There's something there. However, as a proponent of the House of Black, give the House of Black their fucking shine. All right. So that's a whole nother argument for a whole nother day. However, I do agree with you, 4,000. I do want to see an Edge and Christian run. The amount of good or bad these two would be astronomical. And like you said, they're healthy enough. They're young enough right now. And at this point, the patriarchy is kind of like, okay, all right, I'm into it. I get it, but like, what?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't love what's going on in the learning tree, but I will say they've done a better job of making me want to see Brian Keith wrestle and see Big Bill wrestle, where I feel like the patriarchy, I like that act better, but it feels so Christian heavy right now. Yeah. I think that the stuff with Luchasaurus/Killswitch probably threw a wrench in the gears. Like, it felt like they were waiting for that to go somewhere, and then the health issues kicked in. So I feel like maybe that got kind of sidelined, but I'm like, I want to see Nick Wayne wrestle, man.
Me too. I think there's something there, but also I think this is no disrespect to anyone in that group, but completely honest, Christian Cage is such a powerhouse that no matter who you put with him, he's going to be like, I'm the star of the show. I don't know what to tell you. And you need someone like an Edge who's going to be like, stop it, me too. Right now, Nick Wayne is well on his way. Mama Wayne, she eats well on her way. And what we had with Killswitch Luchasaurus was well on its way. But yeah, I think it's time. And then when Killswitch Luchasaurus comes back, Christian Cage might be a new person and get a big boot to the face. It's wrestling. It's fine.
I'm not mad about it. Over 3,500, almost 3,600 of you watching. I know that you guys are getting ready for Wrestle Dynasty sooner than later, so we are trying to make this one a little bit quicker for you, but please get in those super chats and support us here at Fightful. Despite what people say about us being on different companies' payrolls, we are not. We are funded by you and our sponsors almost entirely.
I'm broke.
So yeah, let's get Cresta paid over here, okay? But Tim McFowell saying, how about Rated FTR beat the patriarchy? Nick and Kip turn on Christian for losing. Cope saves him. Could be a fun way to go. I don't hate that. I think Rated FTR should be your trios title sooner, champions than later, because it does feel like, I was so excited when they won, Cresta. Yeah. Like, I was so excited. I was like, Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta defending their titles will be a sight to see, and they just don't. So
yeah,
get them on people who are going to defend them. Rated FTR could do a lot of great work with a lot of younger teams. They're someone that have proven time and time again that they can have successful title defenses, tag team wise, solo wise. I'm here for it. But I like this booking. I'm not mad about that at all, Tim.
This is good
stuff there. Oh, Bully Ray. Oh my gosh,
she's hefty. Bully Ray is hefty. If you didn't know Bully Ray was a girl, it's too late.
I didn't even know you lived in Dudleyville, to be honest. I didn't know you lived in Dudleyville. What a beautiful house you have in Dudleyville there.
It's nice to know that Bully Ray's eyes go with the green screen. So Bully Ray's eyes are now amber as the background. Get out of here, Bully Ray.
I love it. Stop. Guys, get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. If there's anything you want to talk about Wrestle Dynasty-wise as well, feel free to. We had a Wrestle Kingdom post-show early this morning. Thank you to Lyric for joining. And we had Scott, who does some really great work on the Joshi beat especially, but on Japanese wrestling kind of on the whole as well. They joined SP3 and Rob Wilkins as they brought you all the good and a little bit of the not so good from Wrestle Kingdom. Kind of bummed myself about that main event. As a ZSJ stand, my expectations were very, very high, and I feel like he and Shota didn't necessarily have it, but you know what? He's the world champion, so I think him and Ricochet are probably going to put on a banger tonight that I'm looking
Ricochet,
forward to watching.
I have to say, I love this. I love it when people lean into the, wow, you're a cornball, but unfortunately for Ricochet, when people say, be yourself, what's the worst that people could do? But he's leaning into it. Him and Dominic, I think people should, there's a few people in the wrestling industry, learn from this. Don't stab no one with scissors, but learn. Ricochet was wild for that. I'm sorry, Trevor was wild for that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Sean compared him to early Jason Jordan. I felt like early Kurt Angle. Those, I think, were also meant to be an imitation of each other, right? So I'm loving this, like, dorky heel who can really back it up in the ring. And it's kind of fun that it's not, like, a amateur, pure wrestler background. Mm-hmm. It's this more modern take, but a guy that can really, 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 really go. So some good stuff there. But let's talk about our opening match. Danny Garcia and Mark Briscoe put on a really, really solid match here. Here's what I liked about it. I really, really liked that it went to like 2 minutes before the time limit draw to the point where it was getting announced. Uh-huh. And it didn't go to the time limit draw. And it didn't go to a couple of seconds before the time limit draw. More of that, please, of just healthy match lengths that you get the seed planted. Is this going to go all the way? Oh, no, it didn't. But he gave him a hell of a fight. More wins like that, please. This didn't have kind of the same emotional charge that a lot of Mark Briscoe matches do. I gotta say, I don't love that Danny Garcia won and then immediately went into the Sieg 2. Unless he wins it next year to create a 3-year character arc, I feel like they should have just, like, people were so excited about Danny Garcia finally winning. They desperately needed to inject some new life into the TNT Championship picture. And they just kind of like, eh. Just kind of were like, the first thing he's going to do is enter a tournament for a different title belt. Just felt weird to me. I was like, well, unless he's going to win the whole thing to complete his arc from last year, and he didn't even make the semifinal. So I didn't love that. I understand that we set up some feuds from it with Shelton Benjamin and Mark Briscoe, who we saw tonight. But I don't know. I felt like it was not the best use of him winning a title. But as far as tonight's match went, really, really, really solid match. I like that it got a lot of time. I miss when Collision had bangers like this. That was just like a long match for a title. Nasty. Getting in there. Some good stuff in this. How did you feel about our opener tonight, Ms. Cresta?
These are two of my favorite. I don't want to say that Briscoe is a younger talent, but to me, he's younger. I just found out about Briscoe not too long ago. So heck you guys.
He's so newer younger. At least. Newer.
Yeah, he's newer to me. And It's the problem when you've got two beloved characters facing each other. Because Briscoe can go. Daniel Garcia could go. I don't want to see either one of these guys take the pin. That's disgusting. Sure. That's gross. I'm going to be real with you. I don't want to see that. Because you got one person who is the champion who absolutely deserves it. And on the other hand, knowing what I know about Mark Briscoe coming up, why they couldn't be on TV, getting his shine now. Like, I want Mark Briscoe to win everything. He's up there with beloved, like Eddie Kingston for me. So having him here tonight, this match was great. This was a match of, I'm not going out there with you, Mark Briscoe, because you could beat me up. And Mark Briscoe's like, well, I know you can out-wrestle me here, so just come outside. I just want to talk to you. Just step outside. It was quite nice. The chest chops from Briscoe to Daniel, I was like, ooh, he gonna make you work for this title defense tonight, sir.
Yep.
It was nasty. That tumble from the superplex or whatever they tried to do to the outside too, I thought they were both gonna eat shit. Such professionals. Because when they tumbled, the way Garcia tumbled, I swear to God, his butt went into the right position at the right time.
Because it did, yeah, no, he tucked at the right time for sure.
Oh, I thought he was going to pass away. Thank God he didn't, you know what I mean? But this match itself was awesome. Somebody mentioned it in chat, and I'll say it too. Not a big fan of him kicking out of the J-Driller. However, if anyone's going to, I'd rather it be a Daniel Garcia type person because they have protected that move boots down. And I think it does give to Daniel Garcia. I think when you wrestle each other, you're supposed to give something to each other. So yeah, you're not going to beat the TNT champion, but I'll give you my move that's so protected and I'll let you kick out of it. Everybody else, that's a done deal. It makes you look stronger and it makes me like, damn, I need to step up just a little bit and people are still going to root for me. Hopefully it doesn't turn the crowd against Daniel Garcia, but I think that's the risk you run when you have two baby faces. It becomes a, who do I like more? And both of these guys have been fantastic. So I'm glad the crowd didn't turn on nobody. But even if they did, I think a heel run for both of these guys would be more like, nah, I don't care. Suck more.
No, I agree with a lot of what you said. And I don't know if I like him kicking out of the J-Driller. I don't know. I don't initially like it, but I do feel like if not now, when?
And it's good for Garcia. If it was somebody else, I'd be like...
That's the thing. I'm like, who would I rather it be? Because ideally, I would want it to be somebody who had history with Jay, and there are several people in the promotion, but what do they gain from it? Unless you're in a blood feud with Mark? I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe that should have gone to like a Roddy Strong or something like that. But okay. I'm kind of split on that. I'm kind of split on that. Getting some football talk in here that the Steelers recovered a touched punt. Oh man.
This is a game that baseball.
The Steelers don't need it because they're already in the playoffs, but I also don't like limping into the playoffs. And I do like to troll Sean quite a bit, and they're playing the Bengals. So that's what I'm here for. This is my team. Yeah.
And
this
the Bengals okay.
twice
okay.
a year. Steelers won the first time around. Steelers already made the playoffs, so they don't like need this one. But,
do the Bengals need this?
They have a prayer in hell if they win to make the playoffs, but it's still pretty unlikely. Still pretty unlikely. But the important thing is if the Steelers win, I get to troll Sean. And that's what we're really going for. That's what we're really going for.
I'm a turncoat. I'll tell you to your face. I'll cheer for you right now, but if Sean puts the pressure on me, I'll cheer for him. Listen, I'm a wrestling fan.
Listen. I don't blame you, and I become a huge Bengals fan the 14th and the 30th of every month or so. You know, that's when I become a Bengals fan all of a sudden. But, guys, keep those super chats coming in. That was a heck of an opening match. This was a showing that Garcia needed. I want him defending, like, every other week in huge matches like this. Let's go, please. Let's go, please. But we got a chat from Rafael Garcia who says, also, can we get an oxygen mask per CD? And hey, man, a lot of heavy breathing in one segment. So let's talk about this because I was taken aback. I was taken aback a little bit by what we got from this Miss Cresta. We get Hangman, who's talking to Christopher Daniels, and Daniels believes in him, but thinks that he could be the world champion again. And Paige doesn't really care about that. And he says, what has Christopher Daniels given anyone in wrestling?
That's insane.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But he says, and I quote, that he sees an old man clinging on to a sport that left him behind a long time ago. And that if he hadn't lost his mind, he would have hung it up years ago if he still had an ounce of dignity.
That's not funny, but hey, man, you an asshole.
So Adam Page is walking off. Daniels attacks Page from behind, as he should, with some headbutts. And Daniels gets busted open hard way. Daniels says he's the fallen angel, damn it. And Adam Page says, is that what you want? Oh, you're going to get it. So looks like we're getting an intermittent Christopher Daniels Hangman feud. I love the complexities of Hangman Adam Page. Like, people root for this guy. They rooted for this guy when he burned down somebody's house.
That child was diabolical.
And people are still like, this guy's never done anything wrong. But I love this segment because now he's going for the title and he was up against the Death Rider. So we were rooting for him, but he's not really a face. He just wants his title back. And we like this guy. And he's trying to thwart the heels. Taking out a legend here though. Like, man, we are full on shades of gray territory. There's 50 shades of gray around here, all right? And I'm not talking about the horny kind. This is just Adam Page and all of his layers and complexities here. But I actually really, really liked this segment. I love what we're getting out of Hangman of recent. What did you think of this backstage that we got?
You ever heard the song by Pearl Jam called Jeremy?
Yes, but Tony Khan hasn't because it's from the 90s and he only listens to things from the 80s, evidently. But I'm familiar.
This is my Jeremy arc for Hangman's been drinking again. And I'm like, you have to been off the whiskey to pick a fight with this old man. And then to say, you haven't done nothing for nobody. If you don't know who Christopher Daniels is, guys, if you've been watching AEW from the beginning of SCU, I implore you to look at his work with Frankie Kazarian. He, like, him and Motor City Machine Guns are pretty much the godfathers of modern wrestling. So for you, sir, that was so disrespectful. But also, Christopher Daniels busted open hardway. That was calm. That was art. Because you're so mad, you're bleeding. You're Darby Allin. Hello, I didn't know you entered the chat. I wasn't mad, but it's, to me, it's a little odd. Like, you picking on Christopher Daniels? Christopher Daniels, who don't do nothing to nobody? I mean, I guess legend killer incoming. Poor Christopher Daniels, you about to die. This is a drunk cowboy. He been kicked out of every saloon up and down the Mason Dixon. He got nothing to lose. He lost his horse. He burnt down another man's house. This cowboy's on the edge. So when we get sober, Hangman, Christopher Daniels go beat him up, and I can't wait.
I know. And like, Hangman lost his shot at the title again, right? So now we're going back to a little bit more unhinged. We're going back and forth here. But from one legend to another, we'll talk about Jeff Jarrett just squashing Aaron Solo and winning with the stroke here. I don't know what we're doing with Jeff Jarrett. He's entering the casino gauntlet. I'm hoping that sets up a retirement angle for him. God love him. He's used much better now than he was a year and a half ago or so. Like, it's not him on three brands at every title picture. But I'm so fatigued from that, and I have no emotional attachment or nostalgic attachment to him that I just don't care that much. So I go on the hater side because it's more fun that way.
I'm not mad at that.
There you go. I knew you would respect it of anyone, but
bro,
I would
like Jeff Jarrett.
It's Jeff Jarrett, right?
Seeing him get cheered is awkward. So when people's like, I hate Jeff Jarrett, I'm like, that's fair.
It's a little weird. I get the history with Owen Hart. I don't think that's enough for me to like be rooting for you a year later. You know what I mean? I think I'm ready to boo you again, Jeff Jarrett. But he squashes Aaron Solo here. He gets huge reactions, of course, in Carolina. I would like it if the casino gauntlet set something up. Him and MJF would actually be a really fun way to go because he's in that casino gauntlet, I think. I'm trying to think of other heels that are in there. There's some important people with some history with that title for that casino gauntlet that are flirting around it. But what do you think of the squash that we get here? And how are you feeling about Jeff Jarrett being near the title? What do you want to see from him next?
I've seen a lot of weird things in the short time I've got into my resurgence of wrestling. Jeff Jarrett being cheered is one of them. I won't lie. Like, him and Brock Lesnar being cheered in modern times after seeing, like, Jeff Jarrett was a piece of crap. Yeah. I'm not mad. I'm just kind of, like, astonished. My flabbers are gassed because I'm like, we're really still cheering for Jeffrey Jarrett in 2025 now.
Yeah.
Not mad at it. I will say this. I do like what you said about MJF. Because I like MJF, but sometimes if MJF is not on the mic with someone who could go toe-to-toe with him, he just steamrolls him. And old slap nuts over here, all he do is yap. I would love to see a promo, because CM Punk got under MJF skin too, with someone who's really going to get under MJF skin and make you like, okay, you're going to insult my hometown, something incredibly insulting, yelling, I'm better than you, and I'm nobody better than the devil or whatever it is. Someone like Jeff Jarrett is really going to, like a Jay Lethal, is going to get under your skin.
Sure.
So I would love to see an MJF versus Jeff Jarrett, because we already, maybe act like you said, we could boo Jeff Jarrett, but Jeff Jarrett versus MJF? Am I about to boo MJF for Jeff Jarrett? That would be so hilarious. These guys would say the most vile things to each other, and this is me as someone on the internet. Oh, yes, baby. Commit violence, baby. Yes.
That just kind of like clicked with me because they set up they set Jarrett and MJF almost up back to back in that Casino Gauntlet match. And I was like, if there's anybody who's going to get Jeff Jarrett out on old school heel heat, that's a modern wrestler, who better than MJF, right?
Agreed.
Like, there's nobody who's like more perfect for sneaky, underhanded, whatever to match Jeff Jarrett's freak on that, right?
Can you imagine MJF recruiting some people? Because he will. And then Jeff Jarrett with his family, that would be the funniest, but also not funniest heel.
Like, perfect, heel. Right? Like, yeah.
I can't. Bro, I just think of Jay Lethal getting under Ric Flair's skin and then MJF getting under Jay Lethal's skin without the ghetto booty turn. This would be... Oh, man, Kate, you've unlocked something. You've done... I'm holding space for that program. MJF versus Jeff Jarrett would be the funniest thing because MJF is going to be like, this is a waste of my time, and Jeff Jarrett's going to hit him with a guitar. And I'm like, I'm in. I'm all in.
MJF promos on Cara Jarrett alone. Dear God. Yeah, I think
Hear me out, though. I wish I still had my tin hat. Hear me out. How long before those get stale, though? Hear me out. Because how many times have we heard MJF say something incredibly horrible? Because that falls into the category. Personal cheap heat, something incredibly rude about you, yelling. Jeff Jarrett is going to be like, okay, and? But what about you? And then you're going to see, well, no one loves me. He's like, yeah, and I still don't love you, and I'm going to go further. And MJF is going to stab him. I'm not stabbing. You know what I mean?
You are from the Jeremy Lambert school of thinking. Jeremy's like, more murder, please. More stabbing all the time.
Cattle prod. So. Like, honestly, I would, if I were as a woman in the back and Marina Shafir is coming, cattle prod. I'm not dealing with you, Goldberg. I'm not dealing with you, Goldberg. I'm so sorry. If I'm Billy Stark's Athena too, I'm not dealing with you, Goldberg. You're getting the cattle prod.
It's fair. Guys, it's 11:03 Eastern, which means Wrestle Dynasty is underway. So we are going to wrap up shortly and head out soon so that you guys can catch most of that wonderful event that's taking place. Four promotions involved. Forbidden Door-esque, but some really, really good stuff. My cousin's in the chat throwing up the one. So I just want to say hi to my cousin, Michael. But get in your super chats. Get in your humpers chats. We still got our women's match to talk about and our $100,000 high-speed collision four-way in a moment. But before we get to those, let's quick talk about this acclaimed vignette. We got Bowens, who doesn't want to talk about anything that has happened with him. And Max Caster goes into his best wrestler alive spiel. And Bowens just goes right up to him and gets mad at his response. And Bowens says that he got exactly what he deserved. And that the only thing keeping him from slapping the hell out of him is Billy Gunn. And that Billy is the only reason that Bowens basically hasn't taken him out. Because Caster thinks he's the leader of the acclaimed. But sure. Keep listening to Billy. I don't know about all of this. I think it's well overdue that the acclaimed break up, and I think it's better for both of them. I think Max Caster needs to kind of figure out some things, and I think Anthony Bowens just has an incredibly high ceiling from an in-ring perspective that can't reach its full potential in the tag team that he's in, because those matches tend to get formulaic. And I want to see him show out. I want to see him in the next C2. I want to see him having matches with Lee Moriarty and Danielson again when he comes back, and Roddy Strong and everybody. I want to see Anthony Bowens versus anybody. So I think it's time for them to split. I think Max Caster has to figure out who he is on his own a little bit in a sincere way. And I think that's okay. I think that's fine. That happens a lot when tag teams split. But I think they've gotten all the juice out of this that they can from a tag team and a trios run. Let's get the split underway. Let's rock and roll with that. How are you feeling about this acclaimed split in the segment that we got tonight?
Agree that this is long overdue, but it's nice to see that the delusional spirit of Timeless Toni Storm has taken residency in Max Caster. I mean, I respect it. You gotta do something. I understand where they're coming from, and I do agree with you. I think that if there was going to be something more for the acclaimed, they would both have to be on the same page. But it all boils down to low-key, the formulaic and the raps. Drop the raps. Drop the raps. Like, once you stumbled that one time, it was never the same. Save it for something special. You can do it. However, I do think this best wrestler alive thing is kind of like, All right, pal. Okay.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah.
We get it. All right. So I hope the best, because I think that someone like Max Caster can be used in a way to be infuriatingly heel, annoyingly heel, or heel, like a slightly funnier Swerve. Because Swerve, what's funny to Swerve? Ain't shit funny. You could do that with Max Caster, but something's kind of funny. You know, it's kind of funny. But I don't know. I agree with you. I think Max Caster has wrestling soul searching to do as a singles competitor, because there's something in Bowens that the way that this tag team is, he good God, girl, get out. The 5Gs, get out.
I love it. I agree with you. I think we've gotten some like blue balls of this, and it's finally time for them to break up. And I think it's time for Bowens to pop off. But if you're having trouble popping off,
you dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Yeah, don't look at my package, ma'am.
Yeah, mailman. What if Cresta just needs a little Blue Chew? You don't know.
You don't know my life. Alice, I don't judge, but also, young men, don't get addicted to that young in life, because by the time you're 30, ooh.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful. Use as directed. That's all we're going to say around here. You actually don't even need the code FIGHTFUL anymore. We've got some updating to do. I'm allowed to do those reads live. I need to get on that myself, but I was just really proud of that segue, so I was excited.
That was really good.
Thank you so much.
I love
you so much.
Penis pill segue. That was...
Thank you so much. That's really my forte, I got to say, as a host. But over 4,200 of you. That would be really cool if 42,000 of you were watching right now. But 4,200 of you, almost 4,300 of you watching right now. I assume you have Wrestle Dynasty on. So if there's any super chats or humper chats you want to send in about that as well, let me know what you guys are looking forward to. I'm dying to know. I'm, of course, looking forward to ZSJ and Ricochet. Takeshita, I felt like I had match of the night last night, so looking forward to what comes of his never open weight reign. Drew with the Blue Chew, y'all. Damn right. We do have this chat from Daniel Zambrano. Thank you so much, saying, great show, guys. Just wanted to say, give me a Buddy Matthews, Brian Cage, Takeshita feud for them belts. My goodness.
That's a beefy match. That's beef.
That is
Tony Khan for saying that they would do the meat division, and here I am, goutless.
But we just you know, I think the problem is there's some meat on the shelf. You know what I mean? It's packed in the freezer. Wardlow's injured. Miro, they can't seem to really get on the same page. But oh, did Russell Wilson blow it? That's all right. We're still going to the playoffs. That's fine. I don't really care.
I got to tell you, when I hear Russell Wilson, I thought you were talking about Max Caster, because that's what I call him colloquially, because he looks like Russell Wilson. So I'm like, what did Max Caster do now? Y'all mean actual Russell Wilson.
Actual Russell Wilson.
I don't watch regular sports.
You go, he's a...
he's that guy. He's the football player.
He's the quarterback. He is my quarterback, for better or worse. But let's get into this women's match. This should have gotten some more time. We could have shaved a couple minutes off that main event into this, but Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo, I feel like, always have good chemistry. Taya Valkyrie, of course, there. We get Toni Storm winning with the inside cradle. I loved the ending of this. We have that Fujiwara armbar in, and then Storm reaching her foot back to touch the ropes. Then you get that headbutt and pump kick. DDT. Ripcord into the roll-up. Some good stuff on this ending sequence. My only thing with this is I think the crowd is still trying to figure out what the hell's going on with Toni Storm, and that's okay. The crowd was a little off tonight, or poorly mic'd. We never really know with AEW. So that part of it, I felt like they don't know what to do because they're like, the rookie thing is confusing. And then on top of that, you know, I was kind of hoping Deanna and Tony would be more than a pit stop. And it might be. They might continue this a little bit. But Deanna was so crucial to pulling Tony Storm back to Earth a little bit the first time around. I kind of wanted her to remind rookie Tony Storm of, like, do you not remember when you were the crazy timeless lady and we were sitting on the ramp and I had to remind you of the tattoos and you were in black and white and I was in color? Like, I wanted Deanna to be the one to kind of slap the sense into her again, because that's kind of where that started the first time around. I thought the match was good. I just kind of thought this would be a more integral storyline plot than it was. But what did you think of the match? And are you kind of with me on that? Did you feel like we were going to get a little more storyline juice out of Tony Storm and Deanna? Or are you just like, let's get to Australia so we can get the show on the road?
A little bit of both. I want to say I agree with what Orion Ben said. Taya and Deanna tonight. Those outfits, I just want to walk down with you guys. Oh my. Deanna always has that shit on. Let me be clear here. Even when she was wrestling in TNA, her gear is always immaculate. But them two tonight, some of the best dressed wrestlers. And that says a lot because Charlotte Flair and Zelina Vega exist. Okay. those two are solid because they're always dressing. But that's a whole nother show about the fashions of wrestling. But these two tonight, fantastic. I also agree with you in this set of, I feel like this should have been a little bit later on. It's like, no one was doing it. Why are we feeding into this? She is someone who should have like a real good blood feud where she could be like, oh, right before she goes to Old Girl. I think that would have been fantastic. But because of the way that it is set up, I'm kind of with you on it. Let's get to Australia. Let's do, all right. You guys are very clearly waiting for her to go against Mariah May. But there's no push. There's no oomph. There's no care to it the way y'all did with Timeless Tony Storm. There's a story there. Even if you did everything in reverse, and by the time she gets to the feud right before she did her first feud as Timeless Tony Storm, then Mariah May, that would make sense. I'd totally be here for it. I agree with you. Deanna Purrazzo should be more of a pivotal feud than what appears to be, oh, you're fighting Deanna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie, and then they'll disappear into the ether, even though all three of these women are fantastic in their own right, but justice for Deanna Purrazzo and Taya. Because I don't even know if they're ROH girls. They just look really
pretty. I don't think they know what they're doing with that, which is really frustrating because Deanna's one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. It feels like they just had her doing vignettes for like a month and a half, and then they squashed her at Forbidden Door Full Gear for no reason. Agreed. On the pre-show at 6 p.m. And they haven't done anything with her.
Marina Shafir. Come on now. Come on,
her. That whole series with Thunder Rosa was great, and then they just did nothing with it. Like, she's so damn good, and it feels like they were like, well, the presentation didn't immediately click, and they're not men, so they don't get like 90 attempts at it, like so many other people on this roster.
Right, I see when you see
I them. Don't get it.
Khan, come outside. I just want to talk about your car's extended warranty. Nothing's gonna happen. Take your book bag off.
Tony Khan, if you give me $100,000 instead of Brian Cage or Dante Martin or Commander or
you
Beast
mean
Mortos,
Brian something.
Brian something, yeah. This beard has got him looking like Jake something. Like, this was gonna be a spot fest. It delivered as a spot fest. Commander, man, we are in a fun era of Commander. Like, he has improved so much. Late entry for most improved of the year. I feel like over the past 6 months or so, man, ever since that Kyle Fletcher match, it's just been like, whoa, something is extra clicked in with this guy. He's translated his lucha style to American wrestling in a way that's really clicked in. Very happy he's our ROH TV champion. Hope he continues to be on that program. He has been so far. That's a good thing for ROH. But this match was a whole bunch of fun. Brian Cage was likely going to be the one to win this. Are you in a tag team or are you not? I don't know, Brian Cage. I would assume Lance Archer is in Japan, though, just based on how often he works Japan. But it was kind of weird because I'm like, aren't they the tag team of this Don Callis deal? We also did get this promo from Don Callis celebrating Konosuke Takeshita's, man, not just victory and adding the Never Openweight Championship to their stable of titles there, but what a match. What a freaking match. Like, easily to me, the best match of Wrestle Kingdom. And you guys know what a ZSJ sicko I am. Like, I loved that. I loved that. My favorite tonight will probably be Zach and Ricochet. But my God, did he ever show out. So what did you think of this four-way? And are you also kind of like, but aren't you in a tag team? Aren't you a murder machine or whatever?
I'll be real with you. Brian Cage is so large, I wouldn't even look him in the eyes. So there's that. Let's start there. I'm not mad at Brian Cage winning, but I will say, with everyone posed here, Commander being your ROH champion, I would assume he would win. Or Beast Mortos, the way you guys have been pushing him and mentioning him on commentary, and he's very front-facing at the time. So on the one hand, I'm not mad Brian Cage won, right? Right. Because I think out of everyone here, you have everyone in that match had the potential except Dante Martin. Only reason why, because everyone there would eat you alive. No shade. You're a good wrestler, but he's more supposed to eat you, and so would Brian Cage.
He's also in a proper tag team, and I feel like people that are in proper tag teams like don't necessarily need singles victories like this. Yeah. But yeah. I'm with you. I don't like both of my ROH men's champions getting pinned tonight. Like, Lee Moriarty can't be the only guy that's successful. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. we need Commander to keep winning. So with you there. Yeah.
I don't know what we do then with Brian Cage, because I like Brian Cage too. And a lot of these people, ex-TNA people, if you're going to do something like this, where do we go with it? Don't have him win a random casino battle royale and then we don't hear about it later on. Because that's the stuff that makes me upsetty. It makes me upsetty spaghetti. It's like, just go ahead and do something
action,
with it.
Action upsetty? Is that who you become?
Action upsetty, Andretti spaghetti, get ready. I'm a rapper. Max Cassie
wants battle rap. Look at you. Rap. That's a dumb.
I'll ghostwrite for you, Max Caster. You'll be the worst. I'm from New York, too, so you'll definitely get the Jada Kiss laugh like Ricochet. I can't do it. I hate puberty.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But speaking of Max Caster, love for Boost saying, do you think with the way Max Caster is acting like a child, we're getting, oh, Billy, from the Cable Guy with the Acclaimed breakup? I love it. I hope so. I hope so. I'm a big Jim Carrey proponent and a fan of that film. I do feel like the Max Caster stuff is now intentional. Like, they turned the real life reactions into something real. And I always appreciate organic movement. I just don't know what his ceiling is as guy who we're excited about when he gets jobbed out. Like, and it's not.
He's got to be an asshole now. Like, there's a way to do it. If you're mad, you can act like, well, I don't care. I'm delusional. When Bowens has his head turned, you take a wrench and you Jeff Jarrett that man. You got to go full ball. I'm saying, I'm the best. I'm the best. I meant that. And every time you come here, I got this cattle prod. You have to be a piece of crap. He has it in him. I think he has it in him. But if you're so committed to the rapping thing, it's going to weigh you down. We already hate you, baby. So lean into it. Come on, Ricochet. Come on, Dominic Mysterio. Hit Bowens with a wrench.
Okay. Oh, damn. You know, on ROH, we had Red Velvet do this angle where she pulled off the turnbuckle and then had a secret wrench with her so that when the ref pulled the turnbuckle away, she had the wrench. You could do one of those. You could do a little finish like that with Max Caster. But some good stuff on Collision tonight, though. The focus is on Wrestle Dynasty, which is underway currently. You can watch on Triller, but the smart people bought it on New Japan because it's $9.99 a month and both pay-per-views are included over there. So you don't have to pay for the double. But if you are, use NordVPN because they're our best friends. So that's the way to do it. But seriously, New Japan World is $9.99 a month. So check that out. But a great card tonight. Check out, support great wrestling. Also presences from all over the world, right? ROH, CMLL, New Japan, AEW, going to be a very, very, very fun card. But thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy that. There will be a post show that will also have Lyric, Rob, Scott, and SP3 on it. Our Wrestle Kingdom crew just said, hey, our sleep clocks are screwed up. We'll do it again. Let's play too. But before we get out of here, Cresta, where can everyone find you?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you guys so much for showing up every Saturday and being our Collision Colliders, bringing the boom every Thursday and Saturday. You can find me here on Fightful Thursdays. I go over TNA right after the ROH post show with the lovely Kate and SP3, myself and Joe Pearl. Then go over TNA. And normally on Saturdays, it's myself, Iridian, and Rick going over all things Collision. You can also find me on twitch.tv/CrestaStar and tiktok.com/@CrestaStar for as long as it's still here in America. Every Wednesday, we go over AEW Dynamite together. We do a watch along, and I'm here for you. Follow me on Blue Sky, anywhere you've got social media, Cresta Star. Blue Sky, I'm the most active. Yeah, I got a link tree in my bio. You're fantastic. Kate, where can the people find
you? Oh, thank you, darling. You can find me being sleep deprived tonight because I'm going to try and watch some Wrestle Dynasty. But you can find me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can check out my YouTube channel, also Miss Kate Fabe. I did for 2025, I did five wrestlers under 25 to keep an eye out for. We talked Roxanne Perez. We talked Jordan Oliver. We talked Billy Starks. We talked, who else did we talk? Javon Evans. I forget who the fifth one is. I did this yesterday too. But anyway, do you want to know who the fifth one is? Go over there and subscribe. Find out. But that was a fun thing to do for 2025. I was like, let's do five under 25. I'm also doing a fun video coming out next week that you're going to want to keep an eye on. Who would you recast Wicked with if they were wrestlers? So like Bach would be Sami Zayn. Who would be your Alphaba? Who would be your Galinda? I'm going to be joined
can
by
I
someone.
Answer this? I want to answer this now.
Do you want to? You can join my video tomorrow. We're recording tomorrow if you want to join in.
Yeah, send me an invite. Oh,
I will
God.
Send you an invite. You can join us. I would love to have you on. But there
hell
you go.
Yeah, brother.
Cresta just got added to that. It's going to be fun. We're taping tomorrow at 3, but it'll be released next week, probably on Tuesday. So keep an eye out for that. But guys, have a safe and wonderful rest of your wrestling weekend. Enjoy Wrestle Dynasty. We're at a very blessed wrestling timeline and only heating up as Royal Rumble season and Revolution are around the corner. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.